We have to apologize. It's our first session of the 3 days, and we forgot to hit that little button. Our wonderful host is just hit it so that we can record the Q&A. We will be making the recordings of all our sessions available online after the convention. So we missed these wonderful shares, but I'm sure you can hear them. Lots of different meetings, lots of different places all over the world. Okay, so we have some questions that are coming in, Melissa and Cindy, of course, about food. This is the food plan session, and we have many newcomers here. Can you talk a little more specifically about sugar? I know you have said some things, but about how sugar does or doesn't play a part in sugar and other kinds of sugar things in your food plan. Cindy, do you want to go first?
Thank you. Sugar. I would have said, oh, I can have sugar. I always say I'm like 99.4% sugar free. I do not check on like salad dressings, although I know the difference between the ones that have a lot of sugar and the ones that have very limited sugar. So I pretty much manage it that way. But other than that, I just choose foods that I look on the label. If it says it's got sugar in it, I'd choose a different can, a different brand, whatever. So, yeah, basically sugar is not in my food plan.
Thank you, Melissa. How about you?
I would actually just second what Cindy said. I do look on the label to see how many grams or micrograms or whatever it is of sugar is in something. I know that I eat some canned things that have sugar in them, but basically I look for real sugar. I look for corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, which is mostly corn syrup. I look for other kinds of syrups like maple syrup, and I look for honey. I don't eat any of those if I can possibly help it. And I rarely eat artificial sweeteners. I think that I used to, you know, it was a treat when I went somewhere where there was a restaurant that served a particular treat with artificial sweeteners in it. I knew I could eat it safely because I wouldn't crave it. And once I actually forgot to buy it. But my interest in that has just really waned. And it happens once a year, maybe, if that, that I will eat something with an artificial sweetener in it.
Can I add real quick? I agree with Melissa. Somewhere I was making a glass of tea and I put in 4 packets of pink stuff and my brain said, it will never be sweet enough. It will never be sweet enough. And at that moment, I turned that artificial sweetener over because it's just another way for my body to think, oh, I'm getting that sugar. Woo-hoo. And thank you for listing all the different types of sugar there are in the world, Melissa.
Thank you. Go ahead, Melissa.
Ellen, there was one other that almost tripped me up a couple of years ago. I went into a health food store and I saw these baked goods and they said sugar-free or sugar, you know, no something or other. And I said, would you show me the ingredients? And the second ingredient was, wait for it, cold-pressed cane juice. Yeah, so it wasn't refined.
Wow. On a slightly connected but different topic, a lot of people are asking about specific food behaviors. Can each of you talk a little bit about how that is part of your food plan?
Well, as a bulimic, I have a lot to say about that. I mean, I used to smoke cigarettes to curb my appetite. I threw up my food in the toilet or the sink or somewhere. I took laxatives. Laxative abusers, we have our own language and not everybody wants to hear about it. And so I don't do those things anymore. I do eat standing up at the sink. If I take a bite, and I've never admitted this, but every now and then, if I take a bite of something and my brain says, you know, you've had enough, I will spit it back out into the trash. Because rather than saying, oh, but this one is free because it's in my mouth already, no. So I think those are the behaviors that that I no longer do.
How about you, Cindy?
Well, the one I have to be most careful about these days has to do, it's a behavior, is frequency. Like, go on a vacation, so of course you're forced to eat out. Then when I come home, I think I should get to eat out. I should get to go to restaurants to get my food. I'm the kind of person I can say, well, let's go grocery shopping. And then that evening say, well, let's go out to dinner. There's something inside of my head that thinks that that's, you know, and so I have to be cautious because, or actually I have to resist it. It's one of those things I turn over to my higher power frequently because restaurant food is not as nutritious. It's not designed for my food plan. My food plan works best when I eat home most of the time. Of course I go out to dinner, but not every time I want to. I don't know about anyone else, but when I was eating, when I was in the worst of my disease, I wanted to go to the mall and stop at every single confectionery possibility. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to watch that. There's some tie in there that I have to be aware of and to ask firepower to guide me on. Thank you.
And I very rarely now go to what we call dish to pass suppers because I know I will eat more than I will feel good about later. It might technically, the foods themselves might technically be okay, but I just feel kind of icky afterwards.
A number of people are also interested about getting professional help with a food plan, such as a dietitian, nutritionist, doctor. Can you talk to that a little bit? Cindy, would you like to answer that?
Sure. We recommend. I had that on my notes. It was supposed to be something I said right away. And, of course, then my experience did not include a nutritionist after I got in program. But I had been to nutritionists many times prior, and they had given me very excellent plans of eating. But it's highly recommended that you seek a professional to help you decide or to determine what's best for you. Because who am I to say what's best? Mine was sort of a seek and find plan, but I think going and having someone help you make those decisions is always a wise move.
Melissa?
So I don't have much experience with this. I am going to tell you, however, that a grand sponsee of mine many years ago would go on the same food plan that I and her sponsor were on, and she'd do great until she went back to her nutritionist. And her nutritionist would say to her, you can eat anything you want in moderation. And we all know what happened. And it would take her weeks to get back on the food plan that we were at that time using. So I think one needs to take the guidance of a nutritionist with a grain of salt, as we say, to choose wisely and be discerning.
Thank you. How about perfectionism with a food plan? Any word late? Melissa can relate, I see.
Perfectionism. I'm sitting here playing with my hair. Perfectionism. My husband told me recently he overheard us talking about perfectionism in one of our Zoom meetings. And he said, you know, in my meetings, other 12-step program, we consider perfectionism a defect, which allows you to beat yourself up because you will never achieve it. And that stopped me cold. So I have a food plan that's good enough. And it's good enough for me to maintain that 35-pound weight loss, to maintain between 130 and 135, one day at a time, one meal at a time, year after year. And it's good enough. Is it perfect? You know, I don't count my carrot sticks. So, no, and I tell my sponsees that we don't do perfect.
Wonderful. Cindy?
Yeah, about the time I decided I had to do something perfect, I'd stop. That just didn't work for me at all. And so that's why I said I was defiantly self-reliant. My higher power, I have a higher power that knows that I work with sponsors, they're patient, I work with the higher power that's patient, but as I just developed that relationship, my relationship with food became less and less important. Working the steps is how I got abstinent. Making the decision to practice prayer, which I was never going to do. I don't care how spiritual this program is. I was never going to do that. But when I made the decision to pray every day, my life changed. So it's about the food until it's not about the food. And so for me, I had to accept that perfectionism is not a part of my life, but following my food plan to the best of my ability every day means I've got 23 years. I haven't eaten anything with heavy sugar in it. I haven't had any of that luxury stuff that we used to think, oh yeah, a little bit of that will be okay. It wasn't. It isn't. And yet that's not perfectionism. That's following the decision that I have made with my higher power. And that makes all the difference for me.
Yeah, I will say perfectionism is not one of the tools.
Thank you, Melissa. That's for sure. Well, thank you so much, panelists, and all the people giving service.